I think about for me when I was in a place of real despair, I felt trapped in my body. I felt trapped in my marriage. I felt trapped in my career. And I was really unhappy. And if someone would have asked me, well, what do you desire? I just desired to not feel so resentful. Yeah. And so I always see the picture of you're trying to get across a river, and I'm a little 5'1" powerhouse here. I'm not jumping across a river. But if you give me stepping stones, I can take one step at a time. And so we get clarity on what do I want? What do I want in my relationship? And, you know, a lot of my work is in the world realm of libido.
Right.
How do I want to feel? How do I want to be touched? In what ways are my needs not being met? What does it really feel like when I am seen and acknowledged and heard?
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the straight scoop on what it takes to launch and grow a profitable, multiple six-figure coaching or consulting business and make that revenue growth predictable in your business. And today we have a hot new episode for you. We're talking sex, desire, and entrepreneurship. And my special guest is Mariah Brown. She is a Yale-trained functional medicine specialist, a nurse practitioner, a corporate dropout, and CEO of the Women's Vibrancy Code. And as I was getting ready for my day today, I was listening to Mariah's podcast. And oh my God, so much of what she is sharing has been my personal experience as well. So I'm excited for this conversation today. Welcome to Life After Corporate, Mariah.
Thanks, Deb. I'm really thrilled to be here and thanks for the opportunity.
So let's share a little bit more about your backstory because I truly don't know a lot more than what I shared in your bio. How did you go from Yale and functional medicine? I know you were a midwife for a while. There was a little corporate in there. What is your story that got you to entrepreneurship today?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we all have our own story and obviously there's lots of chapters to it. It goes something like finished undergrad, interned with Fortune 50, first job out of undergrad in Los Angeles, you know, business suits, stilettos and airplanes. And my best friend from high school asked me to be at her birth.
Wow.
And I said, of course, I'll be at your birth. And I went and all I could say is the emotion took over me. I didn't even know how to place it other than it felt very emotional. And after the baby was born and it was beautiful and the OB left and the nurse left and her mom was out of the room and there was a moment where it was just her and I. And she pulled me over and she said, Mariah, I've known you since you were 12, since we were 12. And this is where you belong. She said, your voice was the only voice I heard and your touch was the only touch I felt. And I said, I feel the same way. But here I was, I had grown up in an entrepreneurial home. I had studied marketing in undergrad. And so I became a doula and then I started volunteering. And what happened was I went to Machu Picchu and Machu Picchu changed it all. I did the 4-day hike. And it was day 3 on the Inca Trail. I just decided. I felt unfulfilled. I was interacting with people that were traveling and laughing and really living a zest-filled life. And I thought, huh, why am I not doing that? And so I got back and I studied for my GRE and applied to grad schools. And I quit my corporate job and booked a 1-year around the world trip with my miles that I had accumulated from all my traveling. And I took off for a year, me solo with me in a backpack. And along the way, I was volunteering in West Africa with midwives. And I got the letter, I got the call or the email, it must have been back then. This was in 2003. And Yale had sent the acceptance letter. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to Yale to become a nurse practitioner. So my specialty is OBGYN. So officially, my title is a certified nurse midwife, and a lot of people don't know what that is. So I finished my training at Yale, and then I've been running women's health in various spaces since 2007. Along the way, was introduced to the Institute of Functional Medicine. For me, it really resonated because I have a deep belief in food as medicine and medicine is our food. And although I have reverence for prescriptions and I've utilized my prescriptive authority, I think it's often putting a Band-Aid on a festering wound. And I much prefer to work with women that are ready to really take the bulls by the horn and really address how they're eating and thinking and living to address whatever underlying thing is happening. So then, to make a long story short, along the way, Beyond the Red Tent was birthed, which is an online space where I vet experts and products and bring them to the marketplace. And as I did that, I was interviewing women's health providers around the world that were working online.
Oh, how interesting.
And I had three young children that were at that point, what were they, four and under? One of them was breastfeeding. And as much as I loved serving the women in the community, I was running the women's health at a local functional medicine practice. I took the leap and went into full force entrepreneurship and started with a course, which became a program. And now I have a team and employees and coaching programs and masterminds where we get to interact. And it's not all peaches and cream.
No, it's not. No, we'll tell you the truth here. It's not all peaches and cream.
No, entrepreneurship is challenging at times. But I feel so grateful that I took a leap to do what really makes my heart soar. And I listened to a calling from inside that felt like a passion. It felt like a purpose. And I know that I'm serving greatly while being able to also serve my family. And I'm married and I have children, and that's a big priority of mine.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny. Our journeys are different and yet they're similar in specific ways of, you know, once you have this desire, once desire is birthed in you, and we can talk about the birth of desire and where that comes from, to do more or to be more authentic in how you show up in the world. Like the corporate environment is so masculine, right? So it's a lot of doing, it's a lot of competing, it's really stepping into a male paradigm. And then when you took that leap and first went on that trip to Machu Picchu, now for me, that was a 10-day meditation retreat. And it's so funny that on day three, you received your epiphany. On day four, I received my epiphany. You know, I think when you get yourself out of the day-to-day environment and you're really tuning into nature, tuning in to experience, tuning in to what's going on inside, that's when you can receive the insights, right, that you're looking for. So I'd love for you to talk about desire, receiving, the whole feminine qualities, you know, how being a woman entrepreneur is different than being a woman in the corporate world.
Yeah. You know, I just did a call with my group program this week on the concept of tracking our 28-day cycle, and that's whether or not you're bleeding. We all continue. Listen, the moon pulls tides. It's powerful. And, you know, in an ideal world, to be able to speak to women and say, if we had it all our way, we are not meant to feel the same, do the same, have the same kind of schedule on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. We are very dynamic, ever-changing beings. And so when we try to fit into a quote-unquote corporate mold, which is very 9-to-5, show up, grin and bear it, whether or not you are bleeding or feeling super PMS and irritable, having a menstrual migraine, struggling with hot flashes and sleep deprivation, or postpartum and breastfeeding, or just had a miscarriage, whatever it may be, there's this expectation to still show up in a consistent manner. And although, yes, there's value in continuing to show up, and I see it as like the banks of the river. So the analogy that I have is in like the feminine of them and the masculine. I actually heard this from Alison Chavez and I loved it. The water is the feminine. That's the flowing space, right? So in a river, you've got this water that's flowing. It might bump up against a rock and it just flows around. Yeah. It might at times get in an eddy and take a little pause and spin a little bit. And sometimes we as women, we'll spin a little bit, get a little bit caught up in whatever drama or irritability, whatever it may be. And that's the feminine. And the banks of the river, that's the masculine. That's the space that holds the container. It's the structure. And we get to be both. And men also get to be both. We're not just one way. And so in the context of leaving corporate or stepping into I own my own schedule, it looks like for me during, say, week four of a 28-day cycle, that's generally the week where maybe we're in our PMS or our energy is lower. We might have more aches and pains. We might not feel so outwardly social. It's not necessarily the time to be putting our innovations into action. And so when we allow ourselves to instead drop into our feminine desire and our feminine flow and our feminine chaos, it's spectacular because we get to be in this space of really tuning into our intuition and still getting things done, right? It's not like we're all just laissez-faire. Oh, I'll get there. I'll get to it when it feels right. Like we still have to get stuff done, but we have the opportunity and the privilege to really honor that we are very in tune beings. And when we lead from a place of desire, when we allow ourselves to flow, when we acknowledge that sometimes we feel irritable and sometimes we feel tired and sometimes we feel social and sometimes we feel turned on and sometimes it's none of it. The more that we honor that and allow ourselves to receive and ask for help and flow, I think that's when abundance shows up.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about receiving. Yep. Because, you know, women in culture were conditioned to be givers, right? To take care mm-hmm. of others and to get it done and don't worry about it. I've got it covered. Yep. So how do we move from this position of always looking outside and what other people need from us yep. to giving ourselves permission to want help or ask for help, to desire more? Because yep. I heard you on that podcast episode talking about that's where you open up the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say no permission needed. Let's talk about pure biology. Okay. Whether or not you want to procreate or become pregnant, whether or not you're heterosexual or not, the pure biology is a female receives, mm-hmm. receives sperm and creates life, right? So foundationally, we are meant to be able to receive, hold on a little bit, cultivate, create, and birth. Now, for those that don't want to have children, I hope that you're not like hearing and feeling triggered or offended. It's not, I'm just talking like the pure biology of procreation and existing on the planet. And so as women, we often care for all people first. We often leave the scraps for ourselves. We're taking care of our children and our friends and our family members and our neighbors and all the work and all the to-do list and the household or some variation of that. And we tend to burn the candle at both ends. In today's world, I don't know, I'd be really curious to speak with my grandmother and her grandmother to see if maybe it was any different. I don't know. And so what happens is I think we're existing trying to pour out to everyone with a cup that's pretty much empty.
Yes.
And either it's empty because we're not taking a pause to fill it up, mm-hmm. or it's empty because there are cracks. And as much as we're filling it up, we're not taking the pause to mend the cracks.
Talk about that more. What are some of the cracks in the cup? What do you mean by that? And yeah, how do we yeah. take a pause?
Right. So the cracks for me are you're forgetting to eat. You're forgetting to hydrate. Mm-hmm. You're not sleeping well. You're working late into the night. You're saying yes, no matter if it really serves you or not, and not setting boundaries. It looks like not hiring when you need help, but the quest for perfectionism and then the white knuckling it, I'm going to do this on my own. And often, particularly women in my space, and I think in your space as well, are very driven, ambitious, entrepreneurial women. And it's like, I have to put out the fire that's in front of me. And that health piece, that irritability, that weight that's creeping, that lack of desire, the libido that's gone away, like, yeah, it's important, but I can't deal with that right now. I can't deal with that right now. I don't have time to move my body. I didn't take a pause to meditate or stop and breathe. I didn't take a pause to put on my aromatherapy or my perfume to infuse pleasure into my day. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I run two companies and I have three young children and a husband and I serve a lot. Like, I get it in my version of it. And the more we continue to put that to the wayside our cups are leaking.
Yeah.
And so now when we go to serve, we're serving from a more empty place. And what I believe is that when we're creating and serving, it's about being felt, right? People remember how we make them feel, not what we say. And so really, no matter how hard we're working and how beautiful our branding is and how spectacular our offer is, if the energy that we're infusing into that is coming from a depleted, tired, irritable, non-passionate space, those that are receiving it feel it.
Yeah, it's so true. And I've even seen myself in recent weeks in that space of feeling depleted and needing to switch up routine, you know, and I'm also guilty of not always taking time for meditation or exercise in the morning. And then the day, it's just like the day hits the ground running and, you know, I'm off to the races and feeling from that depleted place.
Totally. And I always say perfectionism is canceled here. Mm-hmm. Like if the idea of doing all of that adds stress to your life, well, then I'm not suggesting that you do all of it. Yeah. What I'm suggesting is that we can infuse like 1 minute. If you can find 1 minute every hour just to take a pause, to take a breath, to go, okay, before I hopped on this podcast, I have my water with my green powder in it. I made my adaptogen elixir. I burned my sage, and even if it was just 60 seconds, I allowed myself to take a pause and take a breath, and it goes a really long way. And so we're not looking for perfectionism. I think sometimes someone can eat the most impeccable diet, and sometimes it becomes like an obsession of self-care, and that obsession is actually stress-causing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's about having a toolkit. Right. So I know that when I'm in one of those depleted places, I went back 10 years ago and got my certification as a health coach. I mean, it was a light certification. I don't by any means consider myself an expert, but adaptogens as being part of my routine. You know, you can tell the difference of a stress level and everybody's different, right? So every adaptogen is different depending on what you need. Having my lemon water so I can flush my body, having a green juice, and even lately I've been ordering fresh organic food to be delivered because I'm preparing for a live launch and to prepare for delivering that much energy and pouring into people as we do. If there's cracks in my glass and I'm off alcohol, so no drinking, you know, really purifying the system, meditating, putting good thoughts into your mind, you know, reading the right materials, preparing and asking for what you need from your spouse. Like, honey, I'm not making dinner tonight. Just letting you know there's stuff in the refrigerator. There are directions you can put together on your own. And that would really serve me well to be taken care of in that way. And what we don't realize is that the people around us want to take care of us. We're just not allowing them to. And receiving is an act of generosity.
First of all, I love hearing all of the ways in which you're caring for yourself. That was a spectacular list. And the act of being able to set boundaries and ask for help, I think it empowers others. Mm-hmm. We love being asked, right? When someone comes to me and says, I'm struggling, I could really use help with this, and they're coming from a genuine place, it feels good to support. And so we give others the opportunity to do the same, and we set the example for them that we give them permission to prioritize themselves and set boundaries, particularly for those of us that are mothers or grandmothers.
Yes.
Our children are watching us, and our daughters and granddaughters and nieces are watching us.
And our sons are watching us too.
Our sons are watching us too. So we have the esteemed privilege of setting the example to say, I'm doing this. I'm bringing in support with meal prep. I'm prioritizing myself. I'm cutting out alcohol. I'm giving you responsibility in this and asking for help. And that's me taking care of myself. And then they have the permission to do what we do, not just what we say. So thank you. What adaptogens are you doing?
Rhodiola is my go-to. You know, ashwagandha doesn't do it for me. Ginseng can be supportive, but rhodiola is the thing for me. And so I've been taking rhodiola for really probably a couple of decades because I was still in the corporate world when I was seeking out that support. I think when I was going through perimenopause and just feeling a lot of shifts, I went to that to get some organic support. And I discovered rhodiola, I discovered GABA at that point. That really gave me some mental, emotional support as well. You know, stayed away from medications. I was medicating heavily in the corporate world, actually. It was just like Xanax before you go into the boardroom, a little Lexapro to deal with the depression of it all. And so releasing myself from the stress of that environment and also getting a health coach certification at the same time, changing up my diet, really making fresh foods, losing a little bit of weight, getting serious about exercise. I mean, I had a whole team around me. I call them Team Deb. It's like my Pilates instructor and personal trainer, my health coach, you know, and all the people that I was supporting myself with. And I think, you know, women don't necessarily think about supporting themselves in that way. And it was just such a powerful time for me. And then I was surprised as I was going out and supporting others who were going through that life reinvention at midlife and how poorly everyone was really treating themselves, you know, and staying in relationships that weren't working, relationships that were toxic. And we tend to repeat those patterns in other areas of our lives. So if you're in a toxic relationship with a spouse, you might be in a toxic work relationship. Or even your relationship with yourself could be reflective of how others are treating you. So nutrition is such an important piece of it. And I love that you went for your functional medicine certification and degree, because I think the world needs more people like you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I often say what's going in and out of your eyes, your mouth, and your heart. And it's all relevant. Like, how are we filtering what we choose to see? And through what mind's eye are we choosing to see the world? Can we make the little shifts in gratitude? Whatever's going in our mouth is either serving us or not. And so your steps with adaptogens and cutting the alcohol out and bringing in organic food, it has tremendous value to your bottom line.
Yes.
I know without a doubt that when women care for their foundational health, they make more money. Because they're more vibrant and they're pouring a fuller version into themselves. And then the heart piece is, you know, are we getting clarity on our passion and our desire? And are we allowing that to be expressed in the world? And are we being protective and setting boundaries with the people and the environments that we're in that actually feed our heart?
So let's talk about desire. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about discovering desire, because I think what might happen is that desire gets buried and through this process of dissatisfaction, right? So first we usually realize the dissatisfaction in a job, the dissatisfaction in a relationship, or the dissatisfaction in how the entrepreneurial journey is taking place. So how do you tap into desire? How do we cultivate that?
Yeah, the two places that I like to start is you can start with what do you want. I think there's a difference between a woman being able to say what she wants versus what she desires. I think of desire as the next level up. So to just get quiet with what do I want to be, do have? Mm-hmm. Who do I want to be? Who do I want to be in the world? Who do I want to be when I look myself in the mirror? Who do I want to be in my relationship? Who do I want to be in regard to how I feel in my body? What do I really want to do? And I like the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. Yeah. For individuals who are going, I don't really know what I want to do. I know what I don't want to do. But to start getting clarity in what is my zone of genius? And chapter 4 specifically, I think those questions are so poignant to kind of walk you through getting into the weeds. He uses the example of the Russian dolls, you know, where there's the little one and then the bigger one and the bigger one and the bigger one. Can we continue to like pick up the Russian doll and get down to the smaller piece where you go, oh, that's really what lights me up. So now we get clarity on, well, what do I want to do? How do I want to be spending my days? What do I want to do when I'm at work? What do I want to do when I'm with family? What do I want to do when I'm by myself? And what do I want to have? What if it was limitless? What if more was always coming? What if when we were a child and we made our Christmas list of all the things that we wanted, rather than kind of hearing, well, you can't have all of it. What if actually we could allow ourselves to say, what if I could have it all?
Yeah.
What do I want? And then from there to acknowledge, well, where am I right now? I like the Abraham spiral of emotions, the emotions scale. to go, all right, well, if you're in a place of resentment and anger and despair, to take a leap up to desire, to allow yourself to dream big and go, oh my gosh, this I desire. And it would bring so much joy into me. For many of us, I think it's a big leap. I think about for me, when I was in a place of real despair, I felt trapped in my body. I felt trapped in my marriage. I felt trapped in my career. And I was really unhappy. And if someone would have asked me, well, what do you desire? I just desired to not feel so resentful. Yeah, and so I always see the picture of you're trying to get across a river, and I'm a little 5'1" powerhouse here. I'm not jumping across a river. But if you give me stepping stones, I can take one step at a time. And so we get clarity on what do I want? What do I want in my relationship? And, you know, a lot of my work is in the world realm of libido.
Right.
How do I want to feel? How do I want to be touched? In what ways are my needs not being met? What does it really feel like when I am seen and acknowledged and heard? And so then you add in this emotional scale. And if you're in that place of resentment, can you just move up to what's something I'm satisfied with? And maybe that's where I start. I desire to simply feel satisfied. If you're already there, we can move up to what do I desire that sparks ecstasy in me? And as we take those baby steps and give ourselves the stepping stones, we get across the river, and then there is big desire. And I believe that when we allow ourselves to desire, small, medium, large, it's all relevant, and move into that place of gratitude, and then lean back and allow ourselves to receive, feminine power steps in, and the universe knows one word.
What's that?
And that word is yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So if I say I'm miserable, I know that I don't want to be working in the boardroom and driving to work, whatever it may be, the universe says yes.
Right. Exactly. That's the law of attraction. Right.
Yeah. So instead, as we start shifting, flip the switch and go, all right, well, here's what I want. The universe says, yes. Here's what I desire. The universe says, yes. And then we start being able to receive it. And abundance comes in. Abundance of love, abundance of belonging, abundance of connection, abundance of money, abundance of the right people that we're desiring because we're calling it out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about, you mentioned libido.
Yeah.
So let's, I think I would be remiss in the promise of this podcast episode if we didn't talk about libido, if we didn't talk about sex and the role of sex in desire and getting what you want and opening up the flow of what you want to have happen to come to you.
Yeah.
And libido is a tricky thing. I have a supplement for my libido too.
Is it Shatavari? What is it?
No, it's a it's called Liriana.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I'll send you. It's a blend, and I've been taking it for a number of years. Yeah, I remember during that time, and this was about 10 years ago, getting a divorce, leaving the corporate world. It's like I was turned on all the time. I was eating really well, exercising, and I realized that just opening up to desire was opening me up sexually as well. You know, I was definitely juicy. Let's leave it there.
Love it.
Awesome. So let's talk about libido.
Yes.
And the role of libido in how we live our lives and how that impacts our career.
Yeah. So when I think of libido, I say that I help women feel turned on by their life, their lover, and themselves. Mm-hmm. So often we go directly to the leap of sex. And yes, that's part of libido, right? We want to feel pleasure. I want women to be multiple orgasmic. Yes, yes. I want women, often, I think in lots of scenarios, it's not that women don't desire sex. It's that they don't desire the sex that's being offered to them. Mm-hmm. So along this journey, it's a deep dive into, are you surrounding yourself with relationships where you're really able to speak your desires and speak your needs and allow yourself to desire? So pleasure. What we know is that the more we experience pleasure, it actually increases neuroplasticity and the brain opens up to more pleasure. Okay, so we're looking for endorphins, we're looking for oxytocin, we're looking for serotonin. And so libido can be putting on some beautiful aromatherapy and smelling it in deeply and feeling it through your body. Libido can be taking a bite of a ripe mango and feeling it in your mouth and really allowing yourself to take a pause in pleasure. And what I know is that for women, when we are coming from a place of pleasure and coming from a place of inspiration, that once again pours out into the creations that we're creating. And we enjoy the journey more, and the people around us enjoy interacting with us more because we're happier and we feel more connected, okay? I mean, orgasm alone has a huge surge of oxytocin. What's oxytocin? Oxytocin is the hormone of connection, of love, and belonging. It's at the highest in a woman's life when she gives birth. It helps her bond and fall in love with that baby. Right. It happens when two individuals take a chest-to-chest hug, and we get to really enjoy this surge of oxytocin. So in the libido conversation, there are women that lose their libido because hormones are shifting, right? The estrogen is dropping. Maybe the testosterone is dropping. Maybe the cortisol is too high from stress. Cortisol is kryptonite to libido.
Right.
And in the scenario of vigilance, high vigilance means low arousal. So in other words, when we are trying to control it all, always being the banks to the river, not asking for help, in that eddy, so to speak, the spinning of our wallowing of what's not working, then we have high vigilance because we're under a lot of stress and we're trying to be in the perfectionism and controlling space. And there's no arousal. Vigilance fights against arousal. So instead, if we decrease our vigilance, pour into our self-care, like in your scenario, as you were building as an entrepreneur to prioritize your health coach and your supplementation and all of the ways in which you prioritize yourself. A lot of the time I work with women who they invest greatly in their business coaching programs and their masterminds and their marketing agencies, but somehow they can't justify the bottom line effect when they invest heavily in their health or their just personal development or their sensuality and sexuality. And what I say is no, we need to invest just as heavily in that foundation so that we can decrease our vigilance, decrease our stress response, decrease our cortisol, and now our turn on is stronger. And that means turn on to the work that we're doing.
Yeah, that whole turn on is what attracts people to you, right? And into your sphere of influence is what you're putting out there. It's also the source of creation, right? So to bring it back full circle to where we started, the source of creation as an entrepreneur, you are creating something that didn't exist before. You're giving birth to a business. You're giving birth to an idea. You're birthing concepts every single day. You're birthing new ways of thinking about things, new structures for how to get your clients from where they are to where they need to be. And all of that requires this deep internal connection to who you are receiving, right? So we don't manufacture these insights or ideas. We're receiving these insights and ideas from, you know, eternal wisdom that exists. That's how we're here today. So this has been a super fantastic reminder for me, thank you, of some of the ways that I've let habits slip, or it's just easy to get caught up with the stress. I think the last 2 years with the pandemic and you know, being inside, not traveling as much, not getting as much nurturing from relationships as we've had in the past. For some people, that's been financial stress. Mm-hmm. So I think with all of that, it's a great opportunity for a reset, right?
Absolutely.
To reset and reconnect to your feminine power, to the reason why you're here in the first place and to receive more.
Absolutely. I love what you just said. To really root that in, yes, we are always receiving. And my hope is that we allow ourselves to be felt rather than fighting for our worthiness. Yeah. And for women, when we allow ourselves to receive, it's when we allow ourselves to get quiet. What I always say is the womb knows, the heart listens, and the voice speaks. And we have to allow some space to get quiet in our self-care, to listen in and to receive that guidance. So thank you for saying that. It's really spectacular and a good reminder.
So Mariah, if our listeners are interested in connecting with you, learning more about the Women's Vibrancy Code, how can we do that?
Yeah. So the Women's Vibrancy Code is a podcast. You're welcome to hop on over there because you're obviously here in the podcast world. But more specifically, I have the Vibrant Life Workshop. And so that's my way. I know it's the launch. Deb, I know you've got one coming up in your version of it. It's our opportunities to pour out to the masses. Okay. So the Vibrant Life Workshop is 5 days of core content. We get into the specifics of how do we transform our energy, really up-level our hormones, and also turn our libido alive so that we can feel more connected to ourselves, the work that we're doing, the relationships that we have. And so it's totally free. You get personalized concierge support. You get to come into the space, attend it live, ideally. So it's interactive and personalized, but also watch the recording. And so that's the best way to come in, get a feel for my work, to start crafting your personalized roadmap to your journey of moving from exhausted to energized, balancing your hormones and feeling turned on by your life, your lover, and yourself. And in the midst of that, if you're curious about the Women's Vibrancy Code, that's my flagship program. It is an invite-only space. And so it's only for women that apply, and I take it very seriously. It's an intimate space, and obviously we talk about very intimate topics. And I have a multidisciplinary team, and we get to catch you and hold you. It's me and a mindset coach and a functional dietitian and a trauma release specialist, as well as a sexologist. But that is really an invite-only space. And would love to have you at the next Vibrant Life Workshop. You're also just welcome to reach out to me. Find me in Facebook or Instagram. I have a LinkedIn account, but I never logged into it.
So I know. I connected with you on LinkedIn. And I was like, she only has 50 followers. I don't think she uses LinkedIn. No,
it's on my to-do list. As an entrepreneur, it is one of the things that I will get into. But for now, find me in Facebook or Instagram. If you go to mariahbrown.com, you can just click on contact me. There's lots of ways. But if you're really ready to say, I want to learn more about this. I want to learn more about how my foundational health and my hormones and my libido are getting in my way of living that zest-filled, vibrant life, so that you can look in the mirror and go, there I am. Then come on into the Vibrant Life Workshop.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we will post all of these links in the show notes so you don't have to go searching around for them wherever you're grabbing this podcast from. Those links will be below this audio. Mariah, thank you so much. This has been a different conversation for Life After Corporate listeners. It's not all about the practical to-dos about how to grow a business, but how to show up fully functionally connected and turned on to who you are so that you have more to give to the people who are following you, who want a piece of you, who want to do business with you. There's so much that we give away as entrepreneurs. We can't give away from a cracked cup. I love that analogy. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you so much, Mariah. And that's it for today, my friends. We'll see you next time on Life After Corporate. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.